Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gary Evanson. I'm glad to be here today. And I'm glad to be part of this church. Now I'm your brother. And I was listening to Brother Longer. Etienne Longer, about authority. And I love to be under authority. We were by ourselves for a couple months, but I told my congregation that I don't believe in being independent, that I need to be subject to authority. And that's what I'm here today. I'm here with you today to be your servant. My pastor now is Brother Gary Evanson. You have a good pastor, a great pastor. His wife is Sister Millie. I'm very glad to meet him. I'm glad to meet all of you. Brother Rick was reading the Bible. Brother Zun. Brother Josh with the equipment. May the Lord bless you all. And I know that the Lord is going to do great things around New Jersey. So keep praying for us. We are in next to Patterson. The town is Prosper Park. It's right next to Patterson. And there is a great need in that area. We are there since 2 or 3 years ago. And the Lord is blessing us greatly. But let's go to the Word of God. And I'm going to share the scripture with you today on Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 49. Verse 1, 2, and 3. And I like Brother Evanson, if you can read for us these three verses, please. Hallelujah.
Amen. Isaiah 49 is a great, great chapter in the Word of God. If you read through it, it gives us promises about saving our children also. Amen. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, my people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, and he hath made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. Made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.
Amen. If you please, Pastor, lead us in prayer, please.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, God, touch my friend God here today. Let the anointing of God rest upon him, Lord, as he ministers the word of God. Lord, we ask for your presence. We ask your power in this whole day, Lord, even as we go on to his church, O God. We pray, God, just a great anointing of the Spirit upon his mind right now. Help him to preach the words that you want us to hear, God. Help him to have the mind of God in Jesus' name.
Amen. Everyone says in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk to you about an arrow in the hands of God. An arrow in the hands of God. An arrow is a missile shot from a bow. The point is usually made of sharpened steel. Sometimes they used to put venom, poison, to make it more lethal. And others put fire on the tip to cause a major impact who are thrown that arrow. I'd like to tell you today that we are arrows in the hands of God. He knows us since we were in the womb. He called our names before we were born. He is working with us till today. You know, some people say that they came to the Lord looking for the Lord, but the Bible says that He was the one who looked for us. So we are here because He brought us here. He had our names in memory before we were born. He called our names. So if you are here today, it's because the Lord brought you here. Hallelujah. And He is working with us, polishing us. And when ready, He will place us in His quiver, a bag where the arrows are placed, ready to be thrown. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to be an arrow in the hand of God today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord today with me. Hallelujah. So God wants to use every one of us, but depends on us to let Him polish us and sharpen our abilities to be useful in His hands. So He uses the ministry to perfect the church. That's what brother was telling us today, Brother Etienne Longer, that we need pastors. We need the ministries. Ephesians 4:11 explains that we have apostles, pastors, teachers to perfect the church. Hallelujah. So in this way, we are being polished like that arrow, ready to be used in the hands of God. So we have to let go and let God use His ministers to polish, to get us ready, to put us in His bag. Hallelujah. For His purpose and for His glory. Hallelujah. But we sometimes don't believe what He is able to do. And we look to ourselves, thinking that it's in our strength that we are going to do all things. We are in a country where everyone depends on itself. Sometimes in America it's harder to believe than in other countries. In my country, people walk 3 hours to the service. Sometimes it rains a lot. And they cross rivers. And they get to the church with mud up to the waist. But they get there happy, because they know who they serve, who they're going to praise. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Him. Like David said in the Psalm 148, He invites all the creation to praise the Lord. Praise Him, all the angels. Praise Him, heavens and the stars, the sun and the moon. Praise the Lord, all the waters, down and up. Hallelujah. Praising kings and princes, youngsters, elderly. Praise Him all. Hallelujah. All the people close to Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. So when you are close to God, you feel that need to praise the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. And He's here today to be praised. Why don't you praise Him today? Hallelujah. How many of you shout glory to God? Praise the Lord. So we sometimes think that ourselves is in our strength that we are going to do all things. This is what happened to Moses when he told him to take his people out of Egypt. He gave all the excuses. He gave all the excuses. He was a believer. He was raised believing in God. He wrote the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. He's the one who wrote it. But it came one time that he was not so sure. When God told him to take the people out of Egypt, he gave all the excuses, thinking that he was the one who was going to take the people out. He asked in chapter 3, Exodus, Whom am I? Whom am I to take these people out of Egypt? In what name? Another excuse, they won't believe me. They won't hear my voice. But the Lord kept telling him, go because I send you. I'm sending you. It's not you. I'm sending you. But he kept giving excuses. So the Lord says, what do you have in your hands? And he says, a rod. He said, toss it on the floor. He tossed it on the floor. And he became a serpent and he ran away from it. He was running. Scared. Sometimes we are scared of the wonders of God. You know, he may do miracles today. He's here to do great things. Signs and wonders. That's what happens to those who believe. That's what the Bible says. These signs will follow those who believe in His name. Hallelujah. So, Moses was afraid. And God told him, take it by the tail. And it became a rod again. He said, now put your hand into your bosom. When he took it out, it was leprous as snow. And he said, put it back in. When he brought it out, it was clean. And God told him, you see, it's not you, it's me. Now you go. And if they don't believe you on the first sign, they will believe you on the second. And if they still don't believe you, you will take out water from the river and you will put it on the floor, on the earth, and shall become blood. Go because I'm sending you. And we read the scripture. And Moses still was giving excuses. How many excuses are we going to give before the Lord do something with us? How many excuses do we have every day to serve the Lord 100%? Not a part-time, but 100%. So, he is still was arguing and giving excuses. He said, after all these signs that he told him he was going to do, he says, But I can talk. I'm slow in speech. And God told him, who made the mouth? Who give you a tongue? Go, and I will be your mouth. And I will teach you what to say. Oh, the Lord is very patient. How many times he has blessed us. And we're still arguing with God. We still want to see more. So, Moses, after the Lord told him that he was going to be his mouth, still was giving excuses. Exodus 4:13, this is a contemporary English version, because my language is Spanish, it's very hard for me to read King James Version. So, Exodus 4:13 says, Moses begged, please, Lord, send somebody else. Send somebody else. You will find that behind all those excuses, he had one that was the most important. So, after Moses begged the Lord to send somebody else, God finally got upset. After all those arguments, he's very patient with us. After all those excuses, finally the Lord got angry. He got irritated. Exodus 4:14, with Moses, he got irritated and says, go and take Aaron with you. He will be your mouth. And you will be like God to him. And that was it. Moses gave no more excuses. And then went to Jethro, his father-in-law, and told him, I'm going to Egypt. And now the Lord told him, the people, your enemies, are dead. Exodus 4:20, and that was the real reason he was giving all those excuses. Your enemies are dead. You see, God won't give us the victory until he sees that you are ready no matter what. Hallelujah. He knows your real excuse today why not you serve the Lord. He knows it. That he won't reveal to you his power and his might until you decided to go ahead and be used by his hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Moses had a name that spoke by himself. His name was a testimony of the power of God. Saved by the waters. That was the meaning of Moses. Save him from the Nile River. His life was a story of God that protected him since he was a child. If anybody asked him his name, he would say, my name is saved by the water. Hallelujah. How come your name is saved by the water? He said, because God saved me from the Nile River since I was a child. And the Nile River was a god for the Egyptians. The Nile River was a god for the Egyptians. But God saved Moses from the river. And he was a testimony to the people. He was saved by God. And still, he was afraid when he was ready to be sent. Jeremiah had a name that meant sent by God. Sent by God, like an arrow. His name spoke for himself also. What is your name? My name is sent by God. How come? Because since I was a child, since I was in the womb, before I was born, God called me. He gave me a calling. So he had a calling before he was born. But when God called him to be used, he said, I am a child. And God replied, don't say that, because wherever I send you, you will go. And whatever I say, you will say. He said that then had the Lord put his hand on his mouth and said, I put my words in your mouth, and I put you over nations, over kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and throw down, to build, and to plant. Get ready, stand up, and tell them what I've commanded you. Don't be frightened. I'm making you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail, because I'm with you, says the Lord, to defend you. To defend you. With all this, when God was ready to send him, he said, no, I'm not ready. I'm a child. Hallelujah. God hates when we say no. Because when we say no, we are diminishing his power. Don't look at you. I don't look at myself. I'm small, I'm short, and I have not many things. I may be worthless, but he that lives in me is the greatest. And that's what I look. That's what I see. Hallelujah. I don't follow the trend of the world. Hallelujah. I follow Jesus. I follow my master. And when I see his image, hallelujah, spiritually talking, when I see his image, I like to follow him. I don't follow the world. I don't follow things in this world. I don't care. I could have many things in this world. You know, people are desperate to get iPhone 4, 5, and now PlayStation 5, I think, 4? I don't know. They kill each other for games, trying to get what everybody gets. I'm glad to have my Lord and my God, my Savior. He's all that I want. So Jeremiah, when God was ready to send him, he said, I'm not ready, I'm a child. We see another one example here in the Bible, Amos. Amos the prophet. He was not a prophet, but God called him. You see, if God calls you today, no matter what you are, he will get you ready. Amos was different. When God sent him, he was ready. He didn't have to argue with Amos. He was ready, even though he was not a prophet by profession or by family means. He was not a son of prophet. He was not a known prophet. His name, listen to what his name means. His name means burden. Burden. Who wants a burden? What is your name? My name is Burden. Get away from me. Who wants to hear some other problems? We have enough. We don't want problems from anybody else. Amos, his name was a burden. But he believed the Lord. He believed the Lord. And then, on that time, the people of Israel were far away from God, spiritually talking. And they have their own prophets. They have a Messiah, was a prophet, paid by the government. He was paid by the government, so he was for the government. Like the Bible scripture the brother was reading. He was for profit. A prophet for profit. And he said to Amos, because Amos was preaching and saying, repent, because these people, you, Israel, are going to be taken away to a strange land. So Amaziah came to Amos and told him, please, don't say that. Here, we prophesy good things. Don't prophesy bad things. Only good things we can say here. So he said to Amaziah, you that says, don't speak against the king, because all the prophets prophesy good things to the king and his kingdom. So listen to the word of God. I'm not a prophet, nor I am a prophet's son. I'm a shepherd, a fruit collector, but the Lord took me from behind the flock and told me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now you are Messiah that say, do not prophesy against Israel and don't speak against the house of Isaac. This is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute, and your sons and daughters will die by the sword. Your land will be divided, and you will die in a foreign land. And Israel will be exiled far from his homeland. And all this came to pass. What a message from Amos. Very hard to preach. But we don't preach for ourselves. We preach what he says. And all came to pass. All what Amos said came to pass. Because the Lord was with him. And he believed that the Lord was with him. What a difference. Someone who apparently was not equipped like Moses or Jeremiah, but was able to believe what God told him to do. Moses learned the lesson. And that's why he wrote Psalm 90 and says, you have been my refuge from generation to generation. Before the mountains were formed, or the earth and the world were brought forth, you are God from eternity to eternity. If you don't go with us, don't take us away. Hallelujah. Numbers 10:35 says, and it came to pass, whenever the ark was ready to travel, Moses would say to the Lord, rise, O Lord, defeat your enemies and make them run. Here's a victorious man, an arrow of God, used in the hands of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah also learned the lesson. Learned to let God do the job. He said that in Jeremiah 29. Sometimes I tell myself not to think about you, Lord, or even mention your name, but your message burns in my heart and bones, and I cannot keep silent. You are stronger than I am, and you have defeated me. Jeremiah suffered in captivity, but his faith prevailed. He learned that it's God that sent us to root out, to pull down, to plant, and to build. And that when he is with us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. How many of you praise the Lord today? Hallelujah. How many of you praise the Lord? Be ready to be an arrow in the hands of God, because He may be calling you today, and you may be running out of excuses. It's not us, it's the master who plays the instrument. There was a time in the theater of the city, they announced a big event. A violinist was going to play with a violin that it was worth $1 million. So the auditorium was full, was packed. And there came the violinist and took out the violin and played a nice piece of music. When he finished, everyone raised and gave him a big ovation. While they were doing that, he took the violin and threw it to the floor and stepped on it and brought it to pieces. And the people was astonished. What happened? So he turned down and opened another box and brought out another violin. And he said, the violin that I played before, it was worth $100. Now I'm going to play with the one that is worth $1 million. You see, it's not the instrument. It's the master who plays the instrument. Same with us. It's not me or you. It's the master who does the job. We need to put ourselves in his hands, and he will do. He will do the rest. He's ready to send us like an arrow. He has appointed you and me to do a great job, to build, to plant. And we will be a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. They will fight against us, but won't destroy us, for the Lord is with us all the days of our lives. If we believe the Lord Almighty with all our hearts, things will happen. I have to tell you this testimony. We had a radio station, a radio program for several years. And the pastor who was conducting that program, when I was listening, I heard that many people in Newark was listening to the radio. So I told the pastor, we should open a preaching point in Newark. And he said, go ahead. If you feel to do that, go ahead. So I went onto the internet, type an address where all the people were listening. And I wrote down 10 churches that were in that area. And I called every one of them. Of those 10, only one called me back. So I set an appointment with him, with the pastor. When I got to the church, he said, I'm not renting you yet. Let's go and pray and see what the Lord says. So he grabbed my hands and he said, start praying. And since I'm not used to pray in English, I just started saying, praise the Lord Jesus. Almighty God, I praise your name. And when I was doing that, the Holy Ghost came among us, and he started speaking in tongues, and he hugged me and said, you are my brother. You are my brother. You can use this place. You may use it, and I'm not going to charge you anything. You are my brother. put a sign back in front and tell everyone that here is a place to preach the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we were there the following week with the group. Hallelujah. And he said to me, come on Sunday and address the congregation. Speak to them. So when I was going back, I didn't remember any verse in English because I was learning Spanish. So I went fast and look at the Bible and look at that verse in Acts 26:16, and right away I memorized it. And I noticed that this was what God wants me to say over there. So when I got there and I speak to the congregation, he told me to speak up and said, I'm here because I have a vision for this city in Newark. And what the Bible says is that I have been appointed you. He said to Paul, that verse says to Paul, I have appointed you as a minister and a messenger of the things that you have seen and those that I will show you. I will rescue from your own people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you. So you open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from Satan to God, so they receive forgiveness of their sins in a place among those who believe in my name. And I was not disobedient to the vision, and that's what I'm here today. Hallelujah. When I finished, the Holy Ghost came down, hallelujah, and all were speaking in tongues and praising the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, because we were thrown by God like an arrow. Now today, there is a congregation of more than 100 people. A pastor is there. He came to church. We baptized him. 5 years later, he became a worker, a Christian worker. And now he's the pastor. He's doing so wonderful. He's been there for 5 years. And he has over 100 people. He's doing a great job. Why? Because whatever God sends us, he will do something. He will take that arrow and put fire on the tip. Hallelujah. And whatever he sends you, something is going to happen. Hallelujah. Something is going to happen. We are sons of a great God. The most wonderful God. And he will do things, hallelujah, accordingly to your faith. Hallelujah. That happened in Orange too. Orange, the city of Orange. Another place opened. Hallelujah. We went there. And we believe that the Lord sent us over there to start a new church. Hallelujah. Today, there is another church in Orange with half the group of the first one. Hallelujah. Why? Because we believe that the Lord is alive today. The Lord is constantly with us. He has put us in his back, ready to be used. When we stop giving excuses like Moses, he will polish us and he will have us ready to be thrown wherever he wants us to go. Hallelujah. Let's stand up today and pray to the Lord. Hallelujah. I ask if any one of you would like to be an arrow of God in his hands. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. Because God has plans for every one of us. For every one of us. Amos was not a prophet. You see, it doesn't make a difference who you are. It makes a difference if you believe him. When you believe him, then he will do. He will do what it takes. Why don't you close your eyes and raise up your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I'm here today to do your will. I believe with all my heart that you will do more abundantly than what I think, because you have the power, you have the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to read you a... Oh, the Lord's not through with you yet. I want to read you a scripture. If you would be so kind just to remain standing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting at the 20th verse through the end of the chapter. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. For it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them which believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many, there's some, but not many wise men after the flesh. In other words, most of the people that are preaching the word, most of the people that are spreading the gospel are not wise after the flesh. They're not mighty. They're not noble. They're like you and I. Amen? They're like you and I. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And here's the reason: that no flesh should glory in his presence. Sometimes you see people that are wise and people that are mighty preaching the word, doing things for God, and they fall. Why is that? Because they didn't understand that the glory goes to God. Amen. And they fail because they took God's glory. I feel like the Lord is talking to some folks today and talking to you about living for Him, serving Him in a more different way than you are. The call of God. Sometimes the call of God is for preaching, for pastors. Other times it's for teaching. Many different ways that God calls, but I feel the spirit of the call of God in here today. Sister Lashandra, why don't you come and help my wife? Why don't you just bow your heads? They're going to sing a song that you probably haven't heard. But as you feel the presence of the Lord, why don't you come and just bow a knee before God? Ask the Lord to help you. Answer the call. Answer the call. Listen to the voice of God. There might be a missionary or a preacher's wife or a pastor or an evangelist. We don't know what God is doing. Could be a Sunday school teacher. Could be a right-hand man to the pastor here. Could be many, many different ways. We put God in a box. God's not put in a box. He does what He wants to do. He puts His call upon you, and the call can be very, very different. But the thing is to respond to the call of God. Used of God to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire. Come on.